This show is not a substitute for professional counseling, and no relationship is created between the show hosts or guests and any listener. If you feel you are in need of professional mental health and are a UA student, we encourage you to contact the UA Counseling Center at 348-3863. If you are not a UA student, please contact your respective county's crisis service hotline or their local mental health agency or insurance company. If it is an emergency situation, please call 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.
It's 6 o'clock and time again for Brain Matters, the official radio show of the UA Counseling Center. We are broadcasting from the campus of the University of Alabama. Good evening. My name is Dr. BJ Gunther, and I'm the host of the show, along with my colleague and producer, Catherine Howell. In case you don't know, the show is about mental and physical health issues that affect college students, and in particular, UA students. So you can listen to us each Tuesday night at 6 p.m. on 90.7 FM or online at wbuafm.ua.edu. You can also download the MyTuner radio app and type in WVUA FM 90.7 if you want to hear us that way. We're probably halfway through the semester, the spring semester. We've got several other shows to go when we come back from spring break, which spring break starts, I think it's March the 14th is the week that spring break actually starts. So when we come back, we will probably only have a few more, maybe four or five more shows, but we need topics for our shows always. We don't do shows in the summer, so when we come back in the fall, I'm always asking for new show ideas, trends in college mental health. If you've got ideas for upcoming shows, email those to me at brainmattersradio@wbuafm.ua.edu, and of course I'll consider using your idea. Tonight's topic is so timely, I think it is, especially with graduation coming up in May. It's leaving versus quitting. And in today's society, leaving is synonymous with quitting, and moving on is seen as a weakness. So much of what we hear today is about sticking through things and about how it's a huge weakness to decide to move on. Clinical psychologist Dr. Jennifer Wisdom takes a different stance, and she's excited to be here and share her knowledge around leaving and the unique perspective she takes in seeing leaving and moving on as a strength. And leaving can be beneficial to your overall health and wellness. And as I mentioned, my guest is clinical psychologist Dr. Jennifer Wisdom, which is the coolest name I think we've ever had on the show. It's her real name for sure, right?
My real name.
Dr. Wisdom is well known for her work on the topics of both millennials and leaving versus staying. Her newest book, Leaving Revolution, is the first book of its kind as it delves into the concept of leaving as an essential component of living. And Dr. Wisdom has experience in complex healthcare, government, and education, having worked in these specific fields for over 25 years. She's a sought-after keynote speaker, respected facilitator, and peer-reviewed published author, a military veteran who is also known for her humor as well as her action-oriented approach, and she provides key insight into complicated issues. We are privileged. Thank you so much for being on the show and taking time out.
Oh, my pleasure. My honor. Thanks for having me.
Military veteran. What branch?
Yeah, I was a photojournalist in the Army for a little over 4 years.
Yep. You've traveled everywhere. Yeah.
I have traveled quite a bit. Iraq invaded Kuwait when I was in basic training. So I was just joining for college and to have experience as a journalist. But yes, the military took me all over the U.S. and in parts of Europe and Southwest Asia.
Yeah. How interesting. Fascinating. Gosh.
Well, so interesting.
This topic is just, you know, I think Catherine, you found this topic when you were doing some research for show topics, I believe. And it's just amazing to me because, you know, my husband and I talk a lot about millennials and their outlook or their stance or their view on jobs and how, you know, my generation and my parents' generation, grandparents, you took a job for life. Right. You know, you took a job that was security. You don't leave. And these kids these days, that's not how they look at it. They look at it differently. And I don't know if you're going to talk a whole lot about that, but first, before we get into the details, tell us more about yourself, your credentials, where you went to school, specifically what kind of psychology you got your license in and why you're interested in this topic.
Sure, absolutely. So let's see, I joined the Army right out of high school. My family didn't have money for college, so I jumped right in and again, got a surprise because it ended up being a wartime service that I didn't anticipate, but I learned so much. And also that came to an end and I wanted to move on and go to graduate school. So I finished my bachelor's degree, which was in social psychology while I was in the military, and then went to graduate school for a PhD at George Washington University in DC. And then moved to Portland, Oregon, which was like another planet at the time, to do a postdoctoral training in health services research. So looking at the organization and delivery and financing of health services, yes, which I love, and also did a bit of a glutton for punishment. So I did a master's of public health in biostatistics and epidemiology, and I am officially done with school. I'm done. So that was plenty. I still wanted a little bit more, but now I'm definitely done. So I've worked over the last 20 something years helping healthcare organizations improve their service delivery. So first in Oregon with Oregon Health and Science University, and then I moved to Columbia University, which was a big deal.
I went to the Army.
Yeah. So I went to the Army because they didn't have money. And here I am, faculty at Ivy League University. So very excited about that. And then moved into kind of more administrative management leadership work within healthcare and in academic healthcare systems, and oversaw research at a university and then ran a center working with New York City Department of Health. Now I work outside of academia, but it keeps pulling me back. I have left academia twice, and again, keeps pulling me back. I got married really early and then got divorced not soon after. So I've left a marriage. I've definitely left partners and friends and jobs and homes and cities. And I was maybe 5 years ago looking at leaving another job, and I thought, there's got to be somebody who's written about this. I couldn't find anything. No. There was stuff on how to get another job. Like, I know how to get another job.
Yes.
Or, what to do if you get divorced or after a breakup. So yes, there were individual things like that, but nobody tackled this topic of leaving. And most of the people that I talked to were stayers, and they would say, how can you leave? And how do you move on? And why are you giving up? And all of this kind of stuff that I thought, gosh, that's just not very helpful for what I'm trying to do here. No. So I took my qualitative and quantitative training. I started looking into the research, read a bunch of stuff that's already out there, and then started interviewing people. And I ended up interviewing more than 100 people about their stories of leaving. I mean, even sometimes as random as tell me, like somebody next to me on a plane, they say like, hey, where are you going? What are you doing?
Yeah.
I'm writing a book on leaving. Can you tell me about a time that you've left something or decided
and
not
when
to
you
leave.
When you say leaving, you're not just talking about a job.
No.
You're talking about anything, like you mentioned, a relationship, leaving a town, leaving a job. I mean, you're right. It was very hard. I always try to do research before the shows, so I kind of attempt to know what I'm talking about. And it was very hard. I couldn't find any article specifically on leaving versus quitting. You know what came up? Retiring resigning right, versus quitting came up, which is not the right same thing. Explain the difference between, when you say leaving versus quitting, what's the difference? I mean, it sounds obvious, right?
Well, it does. And yet when you try to think through it, it's sometimes challenging. So quitting to me is saying, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
And to me, quitting suggests that there's not much of a plan. It's just kind of an emotional response and a fed up.
Yes.
Leaving, on the other hand, is thought through, and it's making a plan for what you deserve, what you want, what you aspire to, what your hopes and dreams are, and it's moving you forward. So quitting to me is almost like kind of calling a timeout in your life trajectory, whereas leaving is moving you forward.
Yes.
That's the way I feel about it.
Yes, I think
I'm not saying it's always...
Well, excuse me. I think quitting, the emotional response is a perfect, that's immediately what I think about when people have gotten mad and just said, I quit.
Right.
You know,
right.
There's a commercial. There was a commercial. Remember the commercial not too long ago about the woman who made the cake? Like they were giving her a party and she handed them a cake and on the cake it said, I quit. I was like, oh. And, you know, leaving is more of your choice and a plan is behind it.
Right. Now, sometimes leaving's not our choice, like if we're laid off or something like that.
But
what I recommend is whatever the situation, whether it's our choice or not, to be planful and to choose to manage the leaving process in a way that is respectful, that's diplomatic, and that serves us and serves our interests, serves the world's interests. It's funny and it makes the news when somebody hits the emergency exit on a plane and rides down, but that's not, it's entertaining, but it's not really serving anyone to do that. And everyone I talked to who had an experience of leaving in a huff said, I regret that.
What do you think when you were doing your interviews, when you were talking to people and asking people, what do you think helped people make the decision to leave? Let's say a job. Let's take that first, you know?
Yeah. There was usually some sense of confidence that I can do better than this. I'm worth more than this. And whether it was a jerky boss or they found out someone was making more money than them who was junior to them or a situation of I'm not going to miss my kid's softball game again.
Right.
But just one moment of it's been building and building and building and saying I'm worth more than this. I deserve better than this.
What about, you know, when people are deciding to, did you talk to people who had just quit jobs?
Yes. In fact, one of my favorite stories is someone who said he was working late at night. He had gone he was working at a law firm because his parents wanted him to be a lawyer. Ugh. He was spending yet another very late night and just realized he didn't want to do this. He left by post-it note. He put a post-it note that said, I quit. And walked out.
No regrets.
No regrets at all. He's now working for the State Department. I mean, he's doing amazing things now. And he doesn't have regrets about leaving like that.
When you would ask people and you would interview them, I'm interested to know, would you ask them, how would you ask them? Because I would assume you wouldn't specifically say, when have you left a job? Because if I were in your position, I would ask them, have you ever left anything? And to see what they answer, like how they interpret that. Do they interpret that a job, a relationship, a city? How did they answer that?
Yep, absolutely. So typically the conversation went like this. I'm writing a book on leaving. Can you talk about something you've left?
Okay.
And they look at me and say, leaving what?
Yeah. You don't register that. You just don't register that. It's just an unusual question for somebody to ask.
Yeah, absolutely. So then I say a job, a spouse, a relationship, an identity. And they say, And sometimes people, I've received the response several times. I don't leave things. I go toward things. And I think, okay, right. So I say, okay, all right, great. Can you tell me a time you went toward something? And several times people would come back to me and say, you know, I was thinking about what you said. This happened to me when I was a kid and I haven't thought about it in years. And I wanted to talk with you about it. We all have these experiences of leaving. It's universal.
So to counter that though, did you ever couch it in the position of what is something you've quit?
That's a great question. And I didn't ask that specific question.
That's your next book. I mean, you could expand on that, just quitting. And you could call it just quitting.
Quitting. Absolutely. Great idea.
Let's take a break, okay? Catherine's giving me the signal, so let's take a break. And when we come back, let's take an email question. How about that? And see where that takes us. Who knows? Be spontaneous. You're listening to Brain Matters on 90.7. Come back.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
This show is not a substitute for professional counseling, and no relationship is created between the show host or guests and any listener. If you feel you are in need of professional mental health and are a UA student, we encourage you to contact the UA Counseling Center at 348-3863. If you are not a UA student, please contact your respective county's crisis service hotline or their local mental health agency or insurance company. If it is an emergency situation, please call 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.
Listening to Brain Matters on 90.7 The Capstone, we're talking tonight about leaving versus quitting. And my guest is clinical psychologist Dr. Jennifer Wisdom, which, yes, that is her real name. So you had to become a doctorate of something, right, with that name. You just had to. It's just fascinating. And so we're talking about leaving versus quitting. It's exactly what it sounds like. We left off talking about Dr. Wisdom interviewing people for her book called Leaving Revolution, which is fascinating. And I'm going to read it because I think, you know, I don't know many people who have not ever thought about leaving their job if they don't, or fantasized about leaving or quitting. I mean, this touches everybody. This topic really does. Leaving everybody. School. I don't know if you've ever talked to college students who have decided to quit or leave school.
Absolutely. I talk to college students, and I also talk to people who quit law school, who quit med school, who got all the way through med school and then quit medicine. I mean, there's a lot of different ways that people can leave a path that they set out on. And for some of them, it was like the person I mentioned previously, that this was a path that someone else wanted for them and it wasn't really theirs.
Yes.
Sometimes it was just, I changed my mind. I met someone who, right, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, I met a sociologist turned rancher and a physician who became a yoga teacher and a nun who became a sociologist, not the same person. People can switch.
Yeah, they can switch, but that was my next question is, what keeps, you know, I read in the introduction when I was introducing you about a lot of people feel like leaving is a weakness. Making the decision to leave, whatever it is a weakness. And how do you reconcile that within yourself?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I'll answer this with an anecdote. I teach a lot about transitions. I've taught women in medicine about how strategic transitions and things like that. And I always get the question of, how do I know I've put in enough at my job?
Or a relationship.
Or a relationship so that it's time to go. How do I know I've done enough? And my answer, I usually let that question sit for a little while because everyone says, yeah, how do you know you've done enough? Mm-hmm. And my answer to that is, you don't have to prove anything. You can leave because you're unhappy. You can leave a job because you're unhappy. You can leave a relationship because you're unhappy. Now, this is where I need my disclaimer, which is I am not saying everyone just up and take off.
Don't just up
abandon
and leave.
Children. Yeah. You know, that's not what I'm saying. Clearly, there are contingencies, financial and children and whatever else may be going on in your life. Doesn't mean you just up and leave. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about abandoning your family. But you don't have to, it doesn't have to be so terrible that you can justify it to other people. You can just say, I don't want to do this anymore. That's okay. People, that is an okay response.
And I think people have the most difficult time with that because of the fear of the unknown, of course, the fear of regret.
Mm-hmm. And the fear that they won't be successful. So for example, if you're leaving a partner and then you're single the next year, for example, or at the holiday or at your family reunion or whatever, you're going to sit there and say, everybody's judging me. And they're going to say, you had a decent partner. You had to ask for more. Why can't you be happy with what you have? It's all your fault. You're single, right? That's the voice we imagine people say. And sometimes they really say it out loud to us.
Yeah, just say it out loud. Yeah.
Right. But so that everything bad that happens is because we dared to reach for better. And I fight that in myself as well. I think we all have the opportunity, we have the option to reach for better and to try to better ourselves. Now, of course, not everyone has the same opportunity and the same resources and that sort of thing. It's not a completely level playing field, of course,
but
we all have the opportunity to want better for ourselves and to take steps to make that happen. Whether our parents approve, whether our friends approve, any of that.
Or anybody. Yeah. I mean, I think I can look back, and you can too, and Catherine probably can too. I quit a job. I'm going to admit it. I didn't leave. I quit. Mm-hmm. And I worked there, don't laugh, 3 days. Okay, you can laugh. You know, you just know when you're not a fit. And I will tell you, that was the most freeing feeling walking out of that office to my car that I think I have ever felt. Mm-hmm. Knowing I did the right thing. It was very hard. It was very hard to do. And it was almost like a humiliating feeling because I had just been there 3 days.
Right.
But I took it for the wrong reasons. I'll say it that way.
And when you do leave something and you feel that amazing sense of freedom, I hope that everyone who's listening knows when you feel that, that's a sign you did the right thing.
It is. No regrets. Yep.
Exactly. Not a single person I interviewed said they regretted leaving their job or their spouse or anything else. The only thing two things they would regret. One is I could have been more diplomatic or nicer on my way out.
Yeah.
And the other one, which was almost everyone, I regret I didn't leave earlier. What does that tell us?
Definitely. Definitely. Because you know, if you've stayed in a position or you stayed in a relationship where you're just not happy and miserable, that's where the regret is. It sure is.
Yeah. And to me, we talked about leaving being seen as failure. That's the failure. When you see that something's not working and you don't change it. That's the hard part. Failure is probably too strong of a word. There are all kinds of reasons that people stay in relationships.
Of course, yes.
Money and safety and very real reasons. At the same time, I think trying to make things better is part of what makes us human and what helps us discover an even deeper level of our own humanity.
Yes. You know, when we talk about leaving versus quitting and doing something drastic, making the decision to change your life, and sometimes, for me, sometimes, I'll just tell you personally, it takes forced change for me to change sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know, I can remember a job played out. It was not in my control. That's the only reason I would have changed, right? But what comes to mind is a book and a film based on the book. I bet you can guess. It's probably one of the most popular movies. You know, it's based on true life, Eat, Pray, Love. Is mm-hmm. what I think about when I think about somebody who drastically decided to leave a relationship, but also mm-hmm. leave a position.
Yeah.
That was drastic.
That's definitely drastic. I do cite Elizabeth Gilbert, the author of Eat, Pray, Love in the book. And the other one is Wild by Cheryl Strayed.
Wonderful, wonderful book and wonderful film.
Yeah, absolutely. And I go back to Steinbeck. I go back to Travels with Charlie is amazing, written in the 40s. Like beautiful
Charlie
story of just running around and, and doing something different, just wanting to leave and get out of where he was. And there's another gentleman who left to go on a surf trip worldwide. There's amazing stories out
what
there.
What book was that? Movie. Do you remember?
Ask me that. I will tell you.
I'm intrigued by these books of people who have done that, who have taken chances and taken risks and left positions or left mm-hmm. their marriage or left their relationship and gone out and seen the world and traveled. I mean, not all of them are like that, you know, necessarily. I'm sure there's some other self-help type books, you know, like this, that like yours, similar, but they don't really talk about leaving versus quitting. That's why yours is so unique.
Well, thank you. That book is William Finnegan's Barbarian Days, A Surfing Life.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah, that was great. He is a New Yorker writer, and he talked about when he did that when he was younger. And there's plenty of stories. I have a whole list of these stories in the book, and people who left, one of the ones I say, that I had after a breakup. Breaking Up is Hard to Do, stories by women. Escape from Cubicle Nation by Pamela Slim is about getting out of the regular work life. There's a couple books about friends who got away, about breaking up with friends, which is sometimes even more difficult than breaking up with
partners. Oh, I never thought about that, but it happens all the time. And
we
hear that all the time, don't we, Catherine, here? Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, making that decision to leave. Oh, that is very hard for college students to do.
It is so hard. And it's, I think, especially for young people who didn't grow up in families where people went to college. My parents didn't. They took a few classes, but never finished college. So first generation college, only graduate school person.
Right.
But that's really hard. Dorothy Allison writes quite a bit about the struggle of leaving her family that was in poverty to become a writer and insist on going to college and move forward. And she was able to scrape together resources to do that, and how hard it is that I think for many college students, they feel torn between relating to my family in the way they are versus relating to this new set of people and circumstances in my life that's very
Absolutely.
Different. I know I struggle with that. Some members of my family said, why do you have to go to graduate school? What's wrong with a bachelor's degree?
Exactly.
You know, it's just kind of it's a different world. And it's not, I'm not judging that world or this world. I've made my choices, and I hope that other people can accept those or not.
Yeah, I probably hear this just about every day. Some, you can tell it's a generational thing, you know, where parents quit, and it's a struggle for the student because their parents have questioned exactly what you're talking about. Why do you need to go ahead and get a master's degree? Mm-hmm. Or they've gone through and gotten a degree, let's say in engineering, and they've made the decision not to use the degree.
Right.
You know, and their parents equate it with like a waste of money or, you know, just because they didn't experience that, because that's not the way of the world back then, you know? And
right.
I mean, your specialty, I'm assuming based on what the introduction I gave you is millennials. It sounds like you have a lot of expertise in millennials. Fascinating. I have, I hate to admit this. I've said a lot of negative things about millennials. So I'm trying to spin this because they're just, you know, not my generation, let's face it. And so I've learned to accept that now, that there are a lot of positive things that we can take away from millennials, though. And
oh my gosh,
I think this is one of the main ones.
Yeah.
As far as like not getting so attached and letting, I think, what is the subtitle of your book?
How We Are Learning to Let Go and Move On.
There you go. Millennials, in a nutshell.
Yeah, absolutely. And Catherine might be a millennial. Millennials are, no? Sorry.
what constitutes a millennial?
So millennials right now in 2022 that we're in, millennials are about 22 to 42 years old right now. And then Gen Z is younger than 22. And then older than that, older than millennials is Gen X, which was born between about 64 and 90. And then older than that is baby boomers. And it's natural for people to say negative things about other generations.
I mean,
going back to ancient Greece, people
would do
that.
Our parents did it. My grandparents did it. You know, it's just new stuff, right? When cell phones first came out, I was like, oh, these kids, you know. And now I can't wait to ask them to help me with stuff. I'm like, tell me how to do this. Tell me how to do that. I take advantage of them. That's bad, isn't it? But it works, you know.
No, but I think there's some ways, kind of segueing to talk about millennials a bit. I think there's many ways that millennials can be really helpful, and that the world is so different. You mentioned at the very beginning about how millennials don't stay in jobs as much as Gen X and baby boomers used to. And it's a very different world. So baby boomers tended to work under, just for one example, under a defined benefit plan, which means you have a pension, you get X number of dollars every month after you retire.
Yes.
That switched to a defined contribution plan, a defined contribution plan, which is the company will put X number of dollars into the market, and whatever you end up with is whatever you end up with. And that could crash, as we've seen. That could go great. It could not go great. So that's a different situation. That provides a very different set of circumstances. A pension you only keep if you're at the organization for a long time and able to get that. Now the 401ks have made it much more, we have much more mobility. Another example is around healthcare. And now that is tied to a job, but it's not something that you have to stay at the same job to earn.
It's the same difference, kind of. Yeah.
Right. Right. So there's a companies have been, I don't know how this is going to go over, but companies have been less loyal to their staff.
Yes.
No, things go well, they give the profits to the shareholders. Things go not well, they let the staff go.
And that's what's changed. I think you're exactly right. The Gen Xers and the baby boomers were more loyal to their companies. But, and not to say that you know, millennials aren't loyal. I'm not saying that. Mm-hmm. I'm saying they have to look out for themselves as number one, when in fact, Gen Xers look out for the company as number one. That is
and
so
many
messed
of us,
up.
Yeah, and many of us got burned, either Gen Xers who got laid off, and certainly as a Gen Xer, seeing my parents get laid off after they put 25 years into a company or 20 years into a company, and seeing, you know, and the crashes that have happened in the last couple of decades. So we've seen that. So that would make me, if I was 25 years old and I saw that, I'm not sticking with this company if it's not working for me.
So
I'm going for what's working for me. And that's
right.
When I talk to companies and say, hey, these people aren't leaving. There's not a great resignation because everyone is suddenly lazy. That is not what's happening.
No, that's not what's happening.
People, there's a different rubric of cost and benefit ratio for workers. And companies, you've been able to hold people at low wages and treating them poorly for quite some time. And now that rubric has changed and you need to work harder to keep your people.
Because the competition's out there.
Yeah.
Hey, let's take another quick break. I said we were going to take an email question. Right when we come back from the break, we'll take that email question. I don't think we've answered it, but maybe we have a little bit because we've talked about a lot already. Hang in there. You're listening to Brain Matters on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
This show is not a substitute for professional counseling, and no relationship is created between the show hosts or guests and any listener. If you feel you are in need of professional mental health and are a UA student, we encourage you to contact the UA Counseling Center at 348-3863. If you are not a UA student, please contact your respective county's crisis service hotline or their local mental health agency or insurance company. If it is an emergency situation, please call 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.
Listening to Brain Matters on 90.7 The Capstone. I'm Dr. BJ Gunther. And if you want to send us email questions or have topics for future shows, email those to me at brainmattersradio@wvuafm.ua.edu. We're talking tonight about leaving versus quitting. My guest is Dr. Jennifer Wisdom. She is a clinical psychologist, but she's also the author of Leaving Revolution. Is this your first book?
It is not. I actually have a series of books, the Millennials Guide series. So I started with Millennials Guide to Work, and I have Millennials Guide to Management and Leadership, and quite a few more, Millennials Guide to Workplace Politics, Millennials Guide to Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion, Millennials Guide to the Construction Trades, and there's more coming. So
I
started that right before the pandemic, and it's really helpful. They're all written to be helpful for young people. When I started writing them a few years ago, I realized most of the books that were out there were to teach Gen Xers and baby boomers like us how to deal with these strange new young people in the work environment. And there wasn't anything to help them. So I'm such a fan of the underdog. So I started writing these books to help millennials. And they really focus on, what do I do if my boss doesn't lead? What do I do if my boss doesn't mentor me? How do I build a network? What does that even
that.
Mean? And how do
and,
I do
and
that?
And I think even the, what's the generation now? Gen Z. Okay.
Z is the youngest.
That just is crazy. Are these applicable, can these be applied to them also?
Absolutely. We do have, so in addition to Millennials Guide to Work, we have coming out next month, Gen Z Guide to Work.
Good.
And then we actually have Gen Z Guide to Leaving Home. Some interns I worked with who were just absolutely amazing put this together. It's a quick guide, a small little book that talks about everything you need to know about leaving home.
Where can you get your books?
All of them are available on Amazon.
Good.
Yep. You can just look for Millennials Guides, Jennifer Wisdom, and they should all pop up.
That's amazing. And I hope I'm going to mention this to all of my students. This is fascinating, especially the ones who are graduating this semester. There is so much graduation angst right now that I can just, my skin's crawling right now saying angst, the word angst. Let's go for an email question. Okay. This person asks, after a decision is made to leave a job, what steps do you suggest someone take to ensure their stability during the transition or while looking for another job?
I love it. I love it. So
that's
that's a beautiful one.
Hello.
I have a number of different steps that include decision is one of them. And then the next one is preparation. So a lot of times there's seven different steps after you make the decision. That doesn't mean you're leaving immediately. It just means you've decided and you want to move forward. So the main three issues I talk about with preparation to leave, to do the actual leaving after you've decided, one is logistics. So this is, if you're leaving your job, how do you put all your projects in order and plan for what you want to do and look for another job, et cetera. If you're leaving a partner, how do you manage that? If you're leaving, whatever you're leaving, logistics. The second one is managing your feelings. And this is nothing. This is a big deal too.
Yeah.
You're going to feel a lot of different things. And I walk through kind of what you're likely to feel, what you might feel, and how to work through that. And then the third piece is courage, making sure that you can continue to support yourself as you go through this process. And one of the best parts for me is that when people decide to leave, usually when they know that whatever happens next, whether it's what they want or what they don't want, whatever happens next will have been worth it. And so maintaining that courage that you're doing the right thing, even though you're scared, or you're doing the right thing, even though you're not sure what's happening next,
right. That's
really important as well.
Because there really is no guarantee. It is a risk. It's a huge risk. And, you know, for baby boomers who are coming up on retirement age, I'm assuming, and for my generation, do you think your books on millennials could apply to those people also?
I think there are some parts.
Late?
No. I think there are some parts. So the millennials books, the millennials books are much more about being in the workplace. The leaving book is separate from the millennials, and that one definitely applies no matter what your age.
No matter what the situation is or the age.
That said, I do have, for my Millennials Guide series, I have a baby boomer who is writing Baby Boomer's Guide to the Future. So I can't wait for that one to come out.
That is needed.
Yes, I think so too. I think so too. So I've got Gen Z, Millennials, and Baby Boomers covered. Gen X is silent, as always. But that's okay. But the leaving book, leaving is for, to me, it's for everyone who's thought about leaving, who's about to leave, and also for people who have left and who are working on kind of resolving their feelings, integrating that leaving experience into the rest of their life story.
Yes, I don't think people are ready to, I don't know what the word is. I don't think people are ready to face or cope with the feelings that they're going to have.
Yeah. Yeah. And I talk about that. You know, I go to logistics. My family moved every couple of years when I was a kid. They weren't in the military. They were just moving, seeking a geographic solution to a non-geographic problem.
Yeah.
But still. So I'm really good at logistics. So I go into logistics, whereas for some people, the logistics completely overwhelm them with the boxes and calling the electric company and the
getting rid of stuff
or whatever. Yeah, that's the overwhelming part. But I'm good at logistics. It's the feelings part that is sometimes a little hard for me, but I'm doing better at that.
Oh, wow. This is hard to take in. This is a lot of information, so valuable. The next email question is asking about another generation. What generation do you see most willing to take chances and leave or quit?
Ooh, great question. And I would say that the data show us out here that right now it's the millennials. We don't know enough yet about Gen Z, because right. The oldest Gen Zers are 22. They haven't really had time to quit
and to quit a whole lot. Or have a job. Yeah.
But I think the youngest generation in the workplace right now, the millennials, are definitely most likely to take that chance and move on. And I think they've learned from Gen X. They've learned from baby boomers. They see what's going on. They see how companies work with them. They see what life is about. They see the struggle for work-life balance that many of us saw in their parents and now that we're experiencing. So millennials are definitely most likely to let go and move on.
You know, I think that maybe this is the wrong way to word it, but I'm blunt, so I don't know any other way to say it. I think I'm getting all the gens mixed up. I think the baby boomers and the Gen, what generation are my age?
X. I'm
Gen X,
X
and baby uh-huh. boomers. I think we are more tolerant. And I don't know if that's good or bad. And sometimes the younger, the millennials and the Gen Zers are labeled as spoiled because mm-hmm. they are quicker to know when they are being treated wrongly.
Absolutely.
And not take it.
I agree.
So, yep. You know, I think in the long run, that's probably good.
I think so, too. And I think it would be helpful. And I teach this when I talk to companies about intergenerational communication. It's helpful for us Gen Xers and baby boomers to kind of hold on the judgment. They're making decisions that make sense for them. It may not be a decision that makes sense for us, but they didn't grow up the way we did. They
That's
didn't
right.
grow up with our world. They're not at the same place in their life. Mm-hmm. And so saying a millennial who quits or leaves is lazy is, you know, maybe they are, maybe they're not, but
it's not fair.
Not right. It's certainly not helping communication. It's not helping anything else. I mean, in the okay boomer thing, which admittedly is quite funny, also not helping with intergenerational communication. But I think that was in response to, I mean, millennials have now been blamed for avocado toast. I saw a tweet where somebody blamed millennials on the war, on like Putin invading Ukraine. They blamed it on millennials. Are you kidding me?
Well, I mean, that makes no sense. Don't get me started on avocado toast. That is the most wonderful creation on earth. So whoever,
isn't it amazing?
I don't care. Yeah.
Thank you, millennials.
Oh, yes. Thank you. A piggyback question to that question about the generation you see the most willing to take chances on leaving or quitting. Do you see that as a change in work ethic? I think you just kind of answered that.
Yeah, I don't see it as a change in work ethics. I think it's a change in loyalty, but I say that kind of with a question mark because it's not quite loyalty. It's a change in the rubric of cost-benefit analysis for people. It does not make sense for them to stay at a place that's not treating them the way they'd like to be treated. And again, older generations can say, well, your standards are too high or you're spoiled or whatever. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. If they don't like how they're being treated, they can move on, just like we can move on. And if our tolerance is higher, that's on us.
That's right. That's on us. Let's take our final break. When we come back, I'm going to ask you a little bit of more specifics about leaving and quitting, if we can get more specific than we already have. So you're listening to Brain Matters on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
This show is not a substitute for professional counseling, and no relationship is created between the show hosts or guests and any listener. If you feel you are in need of professional mental health and are a UA student, we encourage you to contact the UA Counseling Center at 348-3863. If you are not a UA student, please contact your respective county's crisis service hotline or their local mental health agency or insurance company. If it is an emergency situation, please call 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.
Hey, you're back listening to Brain Matters on 90.7 The Capstone. I'm Dr. BJ Gunther. We're talking tonight about leaving versus quitting. My guest is clinical psychologist Dr. Jennifer Wisdom. We've been talking about everything with regards to the difference between leaving versus quitting. And specifically, I mean, we may have already answered this, but how does somebody know when to leave?
Great question. Excuse me. I describe it as part of these steps. So the first step is awareness, which is this, I describe it as like a glimmer of light that maybe something can be different, that it doesn't have to be this way, whether it's a job or relationship or whatever it is, maybe something could be better. And we usually immediately tamp that down and say, but I can't leave my job. I have a mortgage, or I can't leave this relationship. What will this blah, 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 all that stuff. And then I talk about how we can kind of nurture that glimmer, not to get us to leave, but to say, what's going on? What's the fear in there? What's the hope in there? Hope. And so after people work through that awareness, they can potentially move into where they're able to tolerate that glimmer and nurture it. They can then move into the space of confidence. And that's the place where, regardless of what happens, I'm going to be okay, and it will have been worth it. And then once they get to confidence, then it's decision time. Then you can prepare to leave, the actual leaving. And then the last step that I outline is integration, where after you've left and you've moved on to whatever's next, how do you integrate that whole process? And the book goes through these in great detail. One of the people who provided an endorsement said it's part memoir, part how-to guide, which I find perfect.
It does sound like that. It really does. It kind of teaches you how to do it if you're thinking about it, because you've already, if somebody is going to buy and read your book, they're already in the awareness phase, I think.
They might be, or it could be they've left something and are trying to figure out how to manage that.
True. You know, I think you said that all of the people that you interviewed didn't have regrets. Maybe you didn't say all of them. I'm curious as to, you've talked to people who have regretted leaving?
Nobody said they regretted leaving. I did talk to people who considered leaving and ultimately decided to stay. So, for example, this one woman that I talked to had an opportunity to move her family from the Southeast U.S. to Hong Kong or Taiwan, or I'm not sure exactly where, somewhere in Southeast Asia. And she was really excited about this opportunity. But as we talked about it, she reflected on how her mom was one of the first women to integrate an all-white school and what that was like for her. And she talked about how she was sent to a different school and she was with people who were not like her, and how she didn't want her kids to have that feeling. As much as it might be an amazing experience for them, she didn't want them to have that feeling. And she and her husband decided not to move at that time because they wanted to protect their kids from that. And that's an example of how she's had that experience of leaving, and she wanted to protect her kids from that and chose to stay at that time. Now, who knows? They might have moved on, 5 years later. Yeah. Maybe they were in a different place and it would be a good thing. But it's totally okay to choose to stay. And part of the book isn't to try, again, it's not to get everybody to leave.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, no.
It's to get people to think and be thoughtful about stuff. If we were a world of leavers, that would be chaotic. On the other hand, if we're a world of only stayers, whew, that would be rough too.
Boring.
Super boring.
Boring. Did you, in doing any of your research, did you look at trends for how long people stay, whether it's a job or in a relationship? I mean, did you look at trends?
I did look at trends, and people are leaving relationships more quickly and they're leaving jobs more quickly now than in the past 50 years. Yeah.
Wow.
And I think a lot more people are also choosing not to get married at all. So they're in a relationship, but it's not a marriage, which is great. And then also there's a lot more people, I think, because of the ways that from the Affordable Care Act to different tax laws and so on, people are choosing to make their side hustle their main hustle and not work for an employer. They're doing more of a consulting or independent person gig. So there are options for that too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what I'm doing too. I left an employer and doing it on my own.
And you're on your own. Cause you know what? Cause you have the confidence. You've built up the confidence in yourself to do that. That's what you have to do.
I do. You know, the first time I left to go out on my own, the thing that really clinched it for me was the Affordable Care Act. Because getting insurance, health insurance,
yes,
apart from your job, used to be so much harder than it is now. And that's part of what made it. It's part of why many people stick with their job, because they have a family and they need the health insurance. But
exactly.
It's not super easy, but it's definitely a lot easier than it was.
Is leaving or quitting influenced by someone's personality?
Huh. I think so. Yeah. I mean, there's different, what a great question. There's personalities that feel more comfortable with things being the same.
They do.
And there's other people
or vice versa. They feel more comfortable with needing to change a lot.
Right. I love being in movement. I'm the only person I know who feels grounded on an airplane, but I love moving. Other people, moving is like the worst thing for them. Like moving a household is worst,
yes.
Right? So we have our different personality features around about how much we value stability versus adventure, how much we value the known versus the unknown. And absolutely, I think that affects it a lot.
Yeah, the known.
And our risk-taking, I would say. One more piece, our tolerance for risk-taking is also really big there.
Yeah, that is true. And I think personality does influence. I mean, there are risk takers. Let's just face it. Personality.
Yeah.
I mean, Cheryl Strayed.
Yeah.
She's like that woman. That book. If you haven't read that book, you need to read that book, by the way. I need to read it again.
Great book.
Okay. Last question. Any resources besides your books that you've already mentioned, which sound fantastic, any other resources for listeners, such as other books or websites or apps for your phone?
Absolutely. So I have a website, leavingrevolution.com, and that also has a leaving playlist, which I am very proud of. All kinds of songs about leaving.
Oh, cool.
And staying. Yeah. So happy about that. There's also a lot of books that are available that talk about leaving in a different way, usually around one person's leaving or one person deciding to stay or kind of how to make that difficult decision. And I talked about a few of those, Dorothy Allison, Elizabeth Gilbert, Bonnie Morris. She has a great article on coming out. I talked about that as well. There's James Hollis does a lot of work on transitions in midlife. There's a lot of different books that are out there around that tell these kinds of stories. And so I would say if you are concerned about leaving or you're just starting to think about leaving and you want some sort of resource in addition to what I have, I think find stories about people who left their job. We didn't even get into talking about people who left their religion. Martha Beck has an amazing book on leaving her religion. There's quite a few books on that. And just the very, very difficult and personal decisions that people make around these topics. So
yes,
there's a ton out there.
It's fascinating to learn how people come to these conclusions.
Yeah.
And how they reconcile that, because some are harder. I mean, to me, no offense, but leaving a job would be way easier than leaving a religion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but that's it. Thank you for mentioning that. That's fascinating. This hour has gone. It's flown by. Thank you so much for being on the show. I don't feel like we've gotten to all of my questions, but I hope we've hit the high points.
Yeah, this has been so much fun. Thank you again for having me. This is great.
You're so welcome. And I know you're on the East Coast, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I appreciate my guests who are on the East Coast, because you're an hour later than us. And, you know, I appreciate that. It's a little bit longer day for you. So it
no
means
problem.
More. Thanks, Jennifer. If you're interested in Jennifer's book again, Dr. Jennifer Wisdom, and her book is Leaving Revolution. And it just sounds fascinating to me. She has a ton of other books, it sounds like, on millennials about how to do everything, it sounds like. So check those out. Those can be found on Amazon. So there's no excuse not to check those out. Probably even in our library. I would imagine in our library here too. Don't forget, our shows are recorded and podcasted on Apple Podcasts, audioboom.com, voices.ua.edu. Just type in Brain Matters. You'll find some of our past shows. There's also a link to voices.ua.edu on our Counseling Center's website. That's at counseling.ua.edu. I want to mention, for anyone who's listening who is from the Ukraine, or Russia. There is a support group that is being formed right now by a therapist here in town. And if you're interested in that, please contact us here at the Counseling Center. Our number is 205-348-3863 and ask for me specifically, and I can help you with that if you're listening and you feel like you need some support in that. I feel obligated to Tuscaloosa is, you know, a larger community now, and we do have some Ukrainian and Russian students here on our campus. I want them to know that. As always, I want to thank a few people who made this show possible. Dr. Greg Vanderwall, he's our executive director of the Counseling Center. Terry Siggers from the Office of Student Media, my production assistant and colleague, Catherine Howell, my colleagues at the Counseling Center, the WBUA staff, and of course my guest tonight, Dr. Jennifer Wisdom. Next week, our show right before spring break is going to be on cognitive behavioral therapy and eating disorders. We haven't done a show on eating disorders in a while, and I feel like that's something we need to constantly address. So join us then. I appreciate you listening tonight. Have a good evening and good night.
This show is not intended as a substitute for professional counseling. Further, the views, opinions, and conclusions expressed by the show hosts or their guests are their own and not necessarily those of the University of Alabama, its officers, or trustees. Any views, opinions, or conclusions shared on the show do not create a relationship between the host or any guest and any listener, and such a relationship should never be inferred. If you feel you're in need of professional mental health and are a UA student, please contact the UA Counseling Center at 348-3863. If you are not a UA student, please contact your respective county's crisis service hotline or their local mental health agency or insurance company. If it is an emergency situation, please call 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.